Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, November the 9th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to a new day, filled with all of the joy of knowing that you are with us. We thank you for all that you have taught us in the past, and we look forward to learning from your word today. We ask that you would fill us with truth so that we might go forward and make the right decisions in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, and we begin at verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came, and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Ye know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparisons shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, beginning at page 233 in paragraph 2, says this, Sitting thus and looking upon the animated scene before him, Jesus uttered the parable that has been handed down to us through the ages, as pure and beautiful today in its unadorned simplicity, as when it was given that morning on the Sea of Galilee more than 1800 years ago. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This striking illustration of the spreading abroad of the gospel of the Son of God engaged the earnest attention of the people. The speaker carried with him the minds of his hearers. Their souls were stirred, and many a heart throbbed with the animation of a new purpose. They were charmed with a doctrine so ennobling in its principles, yet so easily understood. The high spiritual attainments which Jesus taught seemed then very desirable. But how soon the impressions there received were to pass from the minds of many, when they again mingled with the world. The sins that had seemed so heinous under the holy light of the Master's presence would be clasped again to their erring hearts. Unfavorable surroundings and worldly cares and temptations would cause them to relapse again into indifference. But others who listened commenced from that moment a holier life, carrying out daily the principles of Christ's teaching. The subject matter of his discourse, illustrated by the scene before them, would never be effaced from their minds. The varied ground, some producing only thistles and noxious weeds, the ledges of rock covered with a surface of earth, the sowers with their seeds, all being before their eyes, fastened his words in their mind as nothing else could have done. The existing state of things led Jesus to give the parable of the sower. The people who followed Christ had been disappointed that he did not set up a new kingdom. Long had they looked for a Messiah who would exalt and glorify them as a nation. And now that their expectations were not realized, they refused to receive him as their Redeemer. Even his chosen disciples were becoming impatient that he did not assume temporal authority, and his relatives were disappointed in him and rejected him. They had addressed him in these words, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest best. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. His followers were mortified that the learned and wealthy were not the most willing to accept Jesus as their Savior. They felt the stigma that attached to their master, because it was the poor, the afflicted, and the humbler class generally who became his disciples. Why, they asked themselves, did not the scribes and Pharisees, the teachers in the schools of the prophets, acknowledge that he was the long-looked-for Messiah? It was to meet this doubt and discontent that Jesus spoke this parable. When the multitude had departed, the 12 with the other believers gathered about him and asked him to explain it to them. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? In these words he explained that his illustrations were to awaken the thoughts in the minds of his hearers. If they desired a fuller exploration of his words, they could ask it of him, as the disciples had done and received it. The Pharisees understood the parable, but affected not to perceive its meaning. They closed their eyes lest they should see, and their ears lest they should hear. Therefore their hearts could not be reached. They were to suffer retribution for their willing ignorance and self-imposed blindness. One reason why he taught so much in parables was that the spies of the Jews were ever watching to find cause for complaint against him. Jesus designed to expose their hypocrisy and evil deeds without laying himself liable to the danger of being arrested and imprisoned by them, and thus cut off from the work which he came to do among the people. He could speak cutting truths in parables, reveal the iniquity that it was necessary to expose without any fear of their laws. They could make the application, for they could not fail to recognize his meaning. Yet they were powerless to condemn him for using a simple illustration in his discourse. The words of Jesus implied a reproof to his disciples because of their dullness to comprehend his meaning. For in the parable of the sower, he had illustrated the doctrine he had come to the world to teach. If they could not discern things so easily to be understood, how could they fathom greater truths that he would declare to them in parables? He also said that he would reveal greater mysteries concerning the kingdom of God unto them who followed him so closely and obeyed him than unto those who were outside of his companionship. They must open their minds to instruction and be ready to believe. Those who had hardened their hearts to love pomp and ceremony did not wish to understand his teachings, nor desire the work of God's grace within their hearts. This class would remain in ignorance of their own choosing. Those who connected with heaven and received Christ, who is the source of light and truth, would understand his words and gain practical knowledge concerning the kingdom of God. But those who, for any reason, neglected their present opportunities of acquaintance with the truth, and did not rightly use their powers of comprehension, but refused to be convinced by what their eyes saw and their ears heard, would be left in darkness, seeing they would not perceive, and hearing they would not understand. The truths of God involved too much self-denial and personal purity to attract their carnal minds, and they closed their hearts with bigotry and unbelief. The great teacher blessed his disciples because they both saw and heard with eyes and ears that believed. Said he, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. Jesus then explained to his disciples the different classes represented in the parables he had them. Christ the sower scatters the seed. They are the worldly ones whose hearts are like the hard-beaten highway, insensible to the teachings of divine wisdom. They love not the requirements of God and follow their natural impulses. Many are convinced as they listen to the important lessons of Christ. They believe his words and resolve to lead holy lives. But when Satan comes with his evil suggestions, they are overcome before the good seed has fairly sprung into life. Had the soil of the heart been broken up by deep repentance for sin, they would have seen how wicked was their selfish love of the world, their pride and avarice, and would have put them away. The seeds of truth would have struck deep into the fallow ground prepared for them in the heart, and would have sprung up and borne fruit. But evil habits had so long held sway over their lives that their good resolutions had vanished before the voice of the tempter. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. There are those who receive the precious truth in joy, with joy. They are exceedingly zealous and express amazement that all cannot see the things that are so plain to them. They urge others to embrace the doctrine that they find so satisfying. They hastily condemn the hesitating and those who carefully weigh the evidences of the truth and consider it in all its bearings. They call such ones cold and unbelieving. But in the time of trial, these same enthusiastic persons falter and fail. They did not accept the cross as a part of their religious life, and they turn from it with dampened ardor and refuse to take it up. If life moves smoothly with this class, if their way is never crossed, if all things are in harmony with their inclinations, they appear to be consistent Christians, but they faint beneath the fiery test of temptation. They cannot endure reproach for the truth's sake. The good seed that had sprung into so flourishing a plant withers and dies because it has no root to sustain it in the time of drought. The very thing which should have caused the fibers to strike down deeper and send up more vigorous growth parches and kills the whole plant. Just so, the hot summer sun that strengthens and ripens the hardy grain withers and destroys that which, though fresh and green, has no depth of root, because the tender fibers cannot pierce the hard and stony ground. These persons could cultivate and enrich the soil of their hearts, if they would, so that the truth would take deeper hold. But this involves too much patience and self-denial. It costs them too much effort to make a radical change in their lives. They are easily offended by reproof, and ready to say with the disciples who left Jesus, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a short time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Jesus represents the seed as falling into neglected borders and patches covered with rank weeds which choke the precious plants that spring up among them. They grow sickly and perish. Many hearts respond to the voice of truth, but they do not properly receive and cherish it. They give it a place in the soil of the natural heart without preparing the ground and rooting out the poisonous weeds that flourish there, and watching every hour in order to destroy them should they again appear. The cares of life, the fascination of riches, the longing for forbidden things, crowd out the love of righteousness before the good seed can bear fruit. Pride, passion, self-love, and love of the world, with envy and malice, are no comparisons for the truth of God. As it is necessary thoroughly to cultivate the soil that has once been overgrown with weeds, so it is necessary for the Christian to be diligent in exterminating the faults that threaten his eternal ruin. Patient, earnest effort in the name and strength of Jesus can alone remove the evil tendencies of the natural heart. But those who have allowed their faith to be overcome by the growth of Satan's influences fall into a worse state than that which they occupied before they heard the word of life. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The parable that has been given by our Lord and Savior is clear as crystal. And today the question that we must ask is, which one of these grounds are we? How do we respond to truth? How much have we committed to the obedience of God's word? Do we embrace that truth and commit ourselves to total and absolute obedience to all that God has said? Today, I plead with you, come to God in an attitude of repentance. Ask Him to forgive the opportunities that you have overlooked, the sins that you have committed, the times that you have not been diligent, and ask Him to give you a renewed spirit, a renewed faith, and a renewed trust in Him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn and encourage. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today as we go through this day. We place ourselves again in your care, trusting you implicitly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, November the 9th, 2019.